Hey everyone, in this AB Talks with Hamdan Al-Abri, we get to know his story, his struggles, his music, and his beautiful voice. I hope you enjoy the chapter. Marhaba.
Ya hala.
Shal akhbar, Hamdan?
I'm good, brother. Thank you. What about you, man?
I'm good. How are you really doing?
Well, man, despite the circumstances, things are good. I think as long as the family is healthy, the loved ones are healthy, we're doing, as long as I'm doing, comparatively well, I have a shelter over my head and got food to eat, I'm good, man. I mean, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, so how is Hamdan?
Like
you. I know, alhamdulillah, your family is good, your circumstances are good, mm-hmm. You have a roof over your head.
Right.
But how are you doing as Hamdan in this period?
I'm definitely in a good place. I mean, obviously, as human beings, we can never be 100% perfectly happy all the time. I mean, that's how life goes. But at the moment, I'm good. I'm in a good place. Good. I wish I could shed some kilos and and go back to my young days. But apart from that, I'm good. Creatively, mentally, emotionally, I'm good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Tell me about your childhood.
Childhood was growing up in Dubai when Sheikh Zayed was two lanes each side. Simple life. My dad was a musician, so there's always music playing in the house.
Hmm.
The memory of my childhood, the strongest, was when we were living in Jumeirah near Safa Park, when it was.
That's where my dad lived.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
man, we used to love going down and, you know, just roaming around the neighborhood in our bicycles, me, my brother, and my sister. And I miss those times, you know. I think people, the young ones here especially, are into social media and playing computer games. But back in the day, it was all about going out and playing football, basketball, catching grasshoppers. I don't know, do you remember catching? So yeah, that was my childhood at that time. I mean, music, me getting into music came way later on. I mean, I wanted to be an artist. That was my...
Like a painter?
A painter, yes.
Oh, that wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was drawing ever since I could hold a pencil. I mean, I was really into drawing and stuff like that. And I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be an archaeologist first because I'm really into history. And then I decided I wanted to be an artist. So that's what I went and studied.
Hmm.
And that's when I found my love for music.
Interesting. I'm sure your dad was happy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Was he happy, or was he the type that doesn't want his son to follow his footsteps?
No, I think that my mom was the one who was hesitant, because she's seen how my dad was and how the music was taking a lot of the time. And, you know, the music is something that's pretty much the first baby, your first love, you know. And she saw that with my dad, and obviously she was hesitant about me. She's a doctor. She's a gynecologist, so... She always thought having something like a proper 9-to-5, like a doctor or a lawyer, was something that, yeah. As opposed to like doing music, because it was such an unstable career path to take.
Mm.
But my dad, he loved it. Obviously, he was very proud.
Is he still singing?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's much more religious now, so he sings mainly religious music. But he still sings. I just saw a video of him on Facebook. He's very active on Facebook.
Okay.
He's in Zanzibar right now doing singing, like religious.
So how was your relationship with your parents?
It was very good. I mean, alhamdulillah, they're both very religious people. They're religious Muslims, but at the same time, they let me express myself. I remember when I used to grow my hair, the people in our community would talk behind our backs and say, "Oh, this guy looks, me and my brother, we look like homeless people, drug addicts." But they let us express ourselves either through the music, either through the art, either through the style that we were wearing at that time, with the hair. They weren't constricting us in letting us be ourselves. Obviously, as long as we weren't hurting anybody, and of course, as long as we weren't insulting our religion in any way, And I always appreciate that. I think having open-minded parents is very important.
And rare.
And rare, yes, absolutely.
Yani, I find that considering you're an Emirati, you know, you come from the Gulf.
Right.
And even, like, I relate because we are so used to certain looks and certain behaviors.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That, for example, my mother doesn't wear the hijab. It's her choice, right? She was wearing it at some point, another didn't, and another point. Doesn't wear the abaya. Used to wear the abaya, doesn't wear it now. So automatically, because the abaya is gone and the shayla is gone, it's very difficult for people to even guess. If she says, guess where I'm from.
Right.
They'll never say UAE.
No, for sure, yeah.
But then I always think it's also beautiful to have diversity in any nationality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have, like you said, we were talking before, like you could have somebody who's half Emirati, half Thai.
Exactly.
And they would not look like a typical Emirati, but they're Emirati. And I think it makes it so beautiful that you have this diversity. And I love the badge, which I hope the camera can catch.
Yeah, man.
You said it's been on your jacket
super
for a
proud.
While.
Super proud, yes, absolutely.
And you know, to the flag and Sheikh Mohammed. And I think this is where Hamdan, true patriotism and love for a nation and a love for your land comes here.
Absolutely.
Not only with our hairstyle or if it's a necklace or a jacket or a national dress or not. I love the national dress when I want to.
Yeah, well, I mean,
but does it define how much of a loyalty you have to your country?
Right.
No.
Absolutely.
If that was, it was like that, it would be so easy in life. You
wear
a national dress and you're the most patriotic person,
completely,
but it's not like
agree.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's in your heart.
Absolutely. Every time I've done an interview or talked about my music, I always have to mention where I came from. You know what I mean? Because Dubai, UAE has molded me into the person that I am. I met so many people from different countries over here. That's the music that I'm doing is because I was born and raised in the UAE. And I think that's very important. I mean, I always rep UAE. I mean, to the day I die. I mean, I love the fact that I'm from here.
Hmm. I find it so. I have so much respect for your parents to allow their children to express themselves. Because I think Asian and Arab families, we don't usually have those kind of
Africans
parents.
Africans too. Yes.
I'm sorry.
African families as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And they will whatever they were brought up with, they implement fully on their children. And I find that a bit sad because you said something nice. You said, as long as we didn't hurt anybody, as long as we weren't doing any disrespect or ill manner, they were okay.
Exactly.
Express yourself, be you.
Yeah, right.
But how rare is that, you know?
It was rare then. I think our generation are much more open-minded as far as, but I think our parents were very much traditionally brought up. Especially with their mindset of how they're supposed to represent themselves to society, it was a much different picture. But I think with us, the fact that we've been exposed to so many, you know, how small the world is now, we're much more open-minded. But back then, of course, it definitely wasn't. I mean, and I know a lot of people that I grew up with didn't have parents who were that open-minded, Emirati and otherwise. And we obviously took different paths, you know. I mean, I don't think I'd ever be able to have done music as a full-time career if my parents did not give me that freedom to do so and support me throughout the journey as well. You know.
And how was school?
School was good. I mean, I was an average student. I hated math, but I loved the. The one thing I loved about school was the friends, like the people that you met there. The friends that you made in high school, like for me personally, some of the closest people that I have, you know, I mean, they're the ones who've seen me grow up to be the person that I am now, you know what I mean? High school was a defining moment in my life. I loved high school. We used to go there pretty early because my parents used to drop us to school before they used to go to work.
Hmm.
So we'd be there like 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning playing basketball, waiting for everybody else to come to school so schools can start. But I loved school in that regard. The studies not.
But why
not too
do you
much.
Think it's a defining moment, high school?
I think Dan is for me, as far as my music, let me talk in the music part. I remember I used to sing in class, math class specifically, because
you're bored.
Because I was bored. And I remember my classmate at that time, he was like, "Man, you have a decent voice. Like, why don't you join the music club? You have a pretty decent voice." And I was like, "Man, I mean, everybody sings, you know what I mean? I just assumed everybody could hold a note and sing." So I joined the music club, and at that time I mean, to this day, I still am a huge Michael Jackson fan. And one of the songs that came out is "You Are Not Alone" from his History album. So I used to sing that one, and people thought I sounded like him. And it got me, I mean, it got me well known in school. Everybody thought I was that Michael Jackson kid in school. So in that regard, it was amazing, you know, because it pointed the fact that maybe I can take music seriously and do this with the art at that time. And then obviously music took over that creative side. But as a human being, I mean, again, it comes down to the fact that I had friends from all over the place. I mean, Shafat is mainly a Lebanese school, but there were people from everywhere. I used to love hanging out doing recess and just, you know, learning about people's cultures and joking around. You know what I mean? You know how school was back in the day, you know? And I think that for me, I think if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be, you know, coming back to my parents is the fact that You're always open-minded to people's cultures and people's ways of life. You always gotta learn how they live their life, how they eat, what foods they eat, what traditions they have. Some things that we might not be doing that they might be doing. You know what I mean? So I was always open-minded as far as that is concerned as well. Mm. So being exposed to that as well in school definitely opened my mind to. To be accepting to people, whatever culture, whatever country they're from.
You said that, or I feel that high school was the first moment you're like, okay, I have something.
Yeah, right, right.
Like you get that confidence.
No, absolutely.
It's not just anything.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It's so important.
I mean, obviously I had the art. I mean, I was drawing at that time, but the music for me, like it was an instant, you get an instant response. As soon as you sing, people respond, whether they like it or they don't like it. With the art, you gotta exhibit it and draw it out. But with music, it's instant.
No, yeah, that's true. Yeah. You studied in Miami, right?
I did, yes, yes.
Why did you come back considering music and art, and especially English music and your style, which is also not pop, it's more maybe soulful.
Right.
Why wouldn't you stay there? Because that's more established. Why would you come back?
I loved being in Miami. It was an amazing experience. But at that time, I was like really young, and I was still, I didn't really know. I had a music manager there when I was in Miami. I found a guy who was willing to manage me and see if I can break through in the music industry in the States. But it's hard, man. I mean, it's competitive, super competitive. At that time, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an artist at that. I was telling you I wanted to be a painter, and that's what I went and studied for. So I had this conflict of interest as what I wanted to do. And I was still kind of exploring my creative juices, basically. Mm. I joined an experimental band when I was there. I joined a rock band when I was there. for me, it was the fact that... at one point, I couldn't finish my studies because of the financial situation. I didn't have enough money to finish my studies, so I had to come back at that point. After that, I stayed in Dubai for a year, and then I decided to go to the UK and see if I can break through there.
And that was my second question. Yeah. But yeah, you reached there.
Yeah. So and not realizing, I mean, you know, when you're young, you're kind of naive and thinking, oh, I have the talent. I just go and sing and I get a recording contract and the rest is history. But it's not black and white. You know, you have to find the right people. You have to have the right manager, or the right people directing you to the right situations. You know what I mean? And it's sometimes it's about luck as well. I wasn't ready in both situations.
Hmm.
So I came back, and at that point, I decided to find a 9-to-5 or a few 9-to-5s. Yeah.
And you did?
I did, yeah, yeah. I did a few. I worked in a pretty well-known airlines. I worked in a well-known bank as well. I worked in Virgin Megastore.
So you went through the rounds?
I did, yes.
But then you're like, this is not for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, after Virgin, which was an amazing situation to be in, I mean, they were letting our president at that time, Nasreen, she knew about my music career at that time. I was about to break through, and she was like, do your music, like don't let this your job here stop you from doing what you. So it was amazing having that support when I was there. You know?
Mm.
But yeah, I knew 9-to-5 was not for me.
So you think luck has anything to do with success?
I think it has a little bit to do. I think being in the right place at the right time. I think a mixture of luck, being the right place at the right time, and having the right people. I think those three things would give you the success. I mean, what is success? I mean, success can be different things
subjective.
To different people. Yeah, yeah. Very subjective. Is it?
Have you been lucky, you think, or unlucky?
I have been, I think, a little bit of both. Mm. I mean, I've been lucky to be able to do the type of music that I do here at that time. Because nobody was doing it, you know. I mean, no one was doing soul music with the band, doing original music. You know, I mean, it was amazing being one of the, you know, the one of the fourth. I mean, fourth. I don't know what.
Yeah, it can be the forefathers of that genre here.
Right, right. But it feels like I didn't know after the band kind of disbanded. I didn't know which direction to go, and I kind of got lost as far as where my career was supposed to go after that. So I think in that regard, I was unlucky. But the journey still continues. So I mean, hopefully at some point I get lucky, you know, again.
You think, Hamdan, you're underrated?
I think that's more of a question for people to say. I mean, I can never say I'm overrated or underrated, you know what I mean?
Personal opinion, which I don't always share,
right.
I think you're very talented and definitely underrated. You know when you see potential and you see talent, but then mm-hmm. the marketing is maybe not there,
right,
or the
right,
projects
right.
or the albums or the recognition,
right, right.
it's still not there. You're like, no, there's much more that can fit in that...
Right.
And those music pants, okay? You want to fit them. But I think not yet. Now, the question is Hamdan ahead of his time because he's bringing a genre that nobody's used to? Is Hamdan in the wrong musical culture that don't understand his music? Should he be in Europe? Should he be... Nobody can really answer that question, I guess.
Right, right,
but
right.
It's like you said, luck is, you know, timing, location, circumstances, people.
No, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it was for me coming out at that time, and even inspiring one person, one Emirati or one kid to pursue music as a career, for me that is amazing. You know what I mean? For me that's an accomplishment. The fact that one kid was like, oh, I saw him on TV or I saw him performing somewhere and he was amazing. I can do that. I can pursue music, or I can pursue art, or I can pursue fashion, or whatever it is, for me is an amazing. That for me is success as well. You know what I mean? I might not have all the awards or the, you know, the recognition in the music industry, but for me, that inspiring a kid or inspiring a child to pursue music as a serious endeavor is, I think for me that's a success. Even inspiring one person.
True. And hopefully many more from this conversation. Hamdan, you've sang alongside very big names like Erykah Badu, Sade. I always confuse, is it Sade or Sade?
Sade,
right. Yeah. So I'm good. Kanye West,
right.
Sting, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Opened, yeah.
When you sing alongside these names that are big in that sector, do you look at them and think, what do they have that I don't?
No, I actually think if they can do it, then I can do it, you know what I mean? I think it's more of an inspiration. They kind of inspire me to keep going. I mean, there's been so many times where I wanted to give up on music and say, you know, khalas, maybe I should be doing a 9-to-5 and doing something serious as opposed to... But they've inspired me to kind of keep going, you know what I mean? They've had so many ups and downs and look where they are now. So I think they're more inspirational than anything, than me being envious or jealous, you know? And they, I mean, these are people that I used to grow up listening to. I mean, Sade, like Stink, you know what I mean? Who was Herbie Hancock, Quincy Jones. These are legends, you know? So me as an Emirati boy growing up and watching and seeing these people, listening to their music, watching their videos on MTV back in the day on the satellite, on the dish, you know? It's inspiring, you know what I mean? That, like, I don't believe it. It's like when my dad, when he came in 68 and he sees the metro and he can't believe that there's a metro here in Dubai. Now, when back in the day, it used to take hours to get from here to, or days sometimes to get from here to Abu Dhabi. So I mean, I think it's inspirational to see, you know.
Would you say, Hamdan, you've struggled a lot in your career?
Honestly, I've been blessed. I hate being cheesy, but I mean, seriously, I have been blessed to be in the position that I am. But saying that, I don't want to say that there haven't been times where it's been super tough, where maybe mentally, emotionally, I wasn't where I wasn't completely there, you know, as far as in order to pursue music or continue making music. There was times where I didn't have anything to express anymore creatively. I had a creative block where I didn't want to make music anymore. I didn't know what to write about. So there've been moments like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm a human being. You have ups and downs, but overall, I think I've been super blessed to be given the talent first off, and then, you know, to be able to share it with people, man. It's been amazing. I love performing live because that's when I share energies with people. I mean, that's the perfect time. And you know, I get to do that as a full-time job, you know. I'm lucky.
I think for somebody who's watching and who's probably struggling with this dilemma, and I've seen a lot of talented artists, they don't know whether they should do music in Arabic or English, because Arabic is the typical route.
Right.
Easy, the audience gets it, you can become bigger quickly.
Right.
But a lot of them, their talent is in English. But then you always talk to them and they're always struggling whether they should switch to Arabic or stick to English. And to pay their bills and to actually build a career, it's a much harder journey if you're in an Arabic area to do music in English. It's just kind of against the grain.
Right, right.
So, like, how would you talk to those people that, because you stuck to your guns, I don't think you ever switched to Arabic.
No, I've never done Arabic.
Which is rare, huh? Because most people I've seen, they try different because they're struggling in the English. He'll try to go to Arabic. And then maybe he doesn't make it because he doesn't sound the same or his voice doesn't fit. And then he wants to go back to English. You've seen it, I'm sure, a lot.
No, yeah, I have seen it. I mean, I think for me, I think where some artists have a dilemma is when they're switching to Arabic as a market, as you know, as a means to break through. I mean, if it's something that they genuinely wanted to do and they think, oh, maybe singing in my native language is where I feel I belong, I think that's cool. But when it feels like when you're trying to do it as a marketing thing in order to break through, and then obviously coming back and doing whatever, you know, whatever language you want to sing in, I think that's where they have the dilemma. For me, I always wanted to do music and sing in English because I was always thinking, I was always wanted to represent the UAE internationally. And I think the main language out in the world is English, where you reach the most, and that's, you know, that's what I've been singing from the beginning. I think I would be, I wouldn't be true to myself if I was forcing myself to sing in Arabic when that's not really where I started, you know? And I think sometimes it shows with artists where it feels like they're not genuinely being themselves because they're forcing themselves to sing in a language that they're not particularly comfortable with.
Correct.
But for me, I always thought that's what I wanted to do is represent the UAE internationally and sing, you know, sing in the language, soul music and sing it in English, you know, because I don't think people would expect that coming from the UAE.
Yeah, maybe. Are you insecure?
I do have my moments. Yes, I definitely have my moments. Insecure? What? Overall, as a human being?
Yeah.
I definitely have my insecurities. Absolutely. Sometimes I'm even thinking like, am I really? There are moments where I think somebody mentioned he called it an imposter syndrome, where you think that like me, I think I'm singing and I'm performing and I'm getting money from doing that. It's a career, but I just feel like one day people are gonna wake up and realize that I'm not as talented as as they think I am, you know. So I'm always having those kind of doubts sometimes where I'm unsure of my abilities as a performer and a singer and as an artist, where people might think I'm a phony, basically. So I think that insecurity I have definitely, and insecurities as you know my physical being, you know, 2020 I gained the pounds and now I'm like super conscious about my weight, but that's something that I can fix. Emotionally, you know, mentally, that's something that we can fix. But yeah, I definitely have those phases for sure. Mm.
You mentioned in an interview that you went through depression. And tell me about that.
I think as an artist, I don't want to speak for all artists, but I think when you're an artist, when you're a creative human being, you're a little hypersensitive to things. And one of the, you know, the littlest thing can kind of bring you down or, you know, bring you up to a euphoric level. And at one point where rather than dealing with my problems or dealing with the things that I was going through, I would rather forget it and, you know, and either party or whatever I was doing at that time. And obviously that kind of piled up all the things that I was going through, and it all came crashing down at one time, and it put me in a really dark place for a very long time, where I wasn't doing music at all at one point. But then obviously I let go of all my vices that I have, that I had. I kind of had to face my, you know, face my my hardships head on, you know, and only then I started getting back into music. I met up with two of my really good friends, Adriano and Megadon, and we started writing. That's when I started getting back into writing and writing music, when they wanted to do Dream Fleet, Aubrey and the Dream Fleet. So I slowly started getting into writing then, and then slowly started getting back into doing music again. But for the longest time, almost 2 years, I wasn't doing music at all. It was just just in a bit of a limbo where I was like, maybe music is not for me. I was just mentally, I wasn't there. Like it wasn't even about the music; it was everything else. Like I was just not. I wasn't completely in my element, you know.
So how would you advise somebody to get out of that? If it's 2 years for you, and you can rewind and go back, would you help yourself get out of it faster if you knew how?
Right. I think the problem with depression, the problem with going through hardships is sometimes you don't even realize it, that you're going through that. Even when people tell you that, you know, you're in a rough spot right now, or even when you see, you know, the telltale signs of it, sometimes you don't even realize it until, like, you know, at the point where you, one day you wake up and you go, damn, like, it's been 2 years where I haven't done any music, nothing. I mean, sometimes it just hits you like a pile of bricks. You don't realize you're going through it until the moment where you wake up one day and you're like, where has those 2 years gone? Or where those, whatever amount of time you've been in that depression, you get so immersed in it sometimes that you don't even realize you're in it, you know. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does.
Yeah, so...
Mm.
I think realizing, you know, realizing you're in it, they always say, you know, the first thing about an addiction or anything is...
Admitting.
Admitting, exactly. So I think that the first thing you got to do is, yes, I do have a problem, and then going around to fixing it.
Mm.
Right.
So you would find or give yourself advice on how to leave it earlier or get out of it earlier? Would it be awareness, like you said?
I think awareness, I mean...
So you'd say Hamdan was in denial for most of the 2 years?
Definitely.
Mm.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Okay.
I was busy indulging in my vices and not, you know, not dealing with the problems, basically.
And what does music mean to you?
Music for me is everything, man. Like for me, that's even in this situation, it's a remedy, you know. Like I always came back to whatever music that I do, it's always something that I'm either going through personally, and for me, music is like a remedy for, like, I want to talk about it.
Mm.
Or music is talking about whatever is going in the whatever is affecting me as far as like what's going on in the world and wanting to talk about it or wanting to sing about it or express myself or my thoughts about what's going on in the world. Those are the two things. So for me, music is everything, man. Like for me, I believe like I'm born to be on stage. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
There have been times where. You know, I get lost in a trance when I'm on stage. I mean, like I'm completely not even there anymore. And I'm in this little, you know, little world of myself and just kind of drifting and, you know, and everything is just coming out but I'm not there. I'm just almost like a vessel, you know what I mean? And that's what I love about music.
Hmm.
You have those little moments, you know?
And what is love to you?
Love is about, good question, man. I think love is how much you can care for something or someone, is how much you, I remember there's a saying, I think the Dalai Lama said one time where love isn't about how it makes you feel. Love is about how you make somebody else feel. You know what I mean? Like how, it's not about a selfish thing. It's about selflessness, basically. It's about you giving yourself to somebody and making them happy as opposed to how much they make you happy.
Hmm.
So always try to live off that. I think that's a great definition of love, where how much you can give yourself to either better or make somebody else loved or happy or a family, man. I think family is a huge, when you can contribute to family and make sure that they have a roof over their head, that they have, you know, all the love and direction and support that they need. That's love, man. That's love, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does the UAE mean to you?
Man, UAE is everything. I told you from the beginning that this place molded me to who I am today. This is UAE did this. This is you know, this is a result of being in the UAE. I love. Recently, I've been going to places like Hatta and Khurfakhan and Fujair and stuff, because this is back in the day we used to go with the family, and so it's a lot of nostalgia, a lot of bringing back. I think when we get older, we kind of go back to the places that brought us the most joy. So those places specifically. But in general, man, like I just love the fact that I got to grow and develop and evolve with my country. I don't think there's many people in the world where they could grow with their country. Like I was born in 81, and things were still kind of developing. And then I think around the 2000s when things start taking off, and you were and I was growing with that. I'm sure you were as well. You know.
Yeah, 81 too.
Yeah, so it's beautiful to be able to grow with your country. I mean, yeah,
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's very true. It's rare.
It's very rare. Yeah.
Yeah, most countries are already established.
Already established, exactly.
And maybe hardly growing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think, Hamdan, everyone is creative?
Yeah, I definitely. I think everybody has a creative. I think some people would rather feed the rational side of themselves, because obviously there's an irrational, which is the creative side, and the rational, which is more the organizer and planned out. And but I think everybody has a bit of both. It just depends on which wolf you wanna feed.
Hmm. What is your favorite color? And three reasons why.
Favorite color? Oh, wow. I have a few, but I mean, one of them is black. I love black.
Yalla, three reasons why black.
Why black? Mm. I don't know. I just love the way it looks. I mean, I love the extent. I think the fact that it's an absence of color is an amazing thing, you know. I'm a night person.
Okay, that's two.
I'm a night owl, so black is definitely. And I love the way it looks on me.
Okay. I don't know if this is an accurate assessment, but uh-huh. It says your favorite color is how you see yourself. Oof. And you kind of answered that because you said one. But the first one was the most interesting one, the absence of color.
The absence of color,
which right. I don't know how to translate that completely, but I find it very interesting. The second one, you said that you're a night owl, so you already answered it for me,
right.
Because that's how you connect to the color.
Yeah, yeah.
And the third one is that it looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
So you think you look good? That's good.
In black.
What are you afraid of?
I think I'm afraid of dying and not accomplishing everything that I wanted to accomplish.
Shit, that's mine, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's my way. I'm not scared of dying. That is
same.
A whole different thing.
Same.
I'm scared of not being
fulfilling
everything that I want to.
Or at least a bit, most of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, we're all not perfect, but at least the majority of it before going, I think I fear that for sure.
Yeah, I relate. What makes you feel valuable?
I would like to think that I bring joy to the people that I love. I mean, again, we're not perfect. I mean, I'm sure I've been a problem child with my family and my parents, but I'd like to think that I'm a positive contribution, that I'm making the people that I love, that I'm bringing joy to their lives. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
And even to strangers as well. Like, it always comes back to performing, and when you see somebody smiling because you're performing, I think that for me is great. I mean, I love having that where somebody who has no idea what I do, I go on stage and perform, and it brings a smile to their face and said, "Yo, thank you so much for making my day," or "Thank you so much for expressing yourself. You made us happy." I mean, I think that for me is
okay. Best moment in your life so far.
Best moment in my life. Music.
Anything.
Anything. There've been so many, man. So many.
Give me one that is sentimental to you. Maybe a bit more than the rest.
Sentimental. I think when my mom came to see me perform, this was years ago. But I was performing in the fridge in La Cruz. I was doing a performance, and I told her to come down, and she came down, and she came with my cousins and my cousins' kids, and for her to see me perform meant a lot to me. You know, so
That's nice.
I definitely hold that very dear to my. I mean, it was years ago,
but still, you see, yeah, you still remember it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, so it's definitely.
You know what's interesting? As no matter how old we grow, Hamdan, we always want the approval and recognition of our parents.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Doesn't change. Your parents say something negative to you, it sticks to your head more than anyone.
It pierces.
Big time. And they say something good and it's armor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I keep saying that loved ones' opinions are tattoos on the mind.
Oof.
They're so not true. Like the tattoo that you can wash off.
No, absolutely.
It's very hard to remove. We need a laser machine. It sticks. So you have to be so careful what you say to the people that really love you.
Wow,
really
for sure.
Careful. Like if you say, I think you're looking ugly, it will stick. But maybe a comment, ugly, you don't care. A random comment online. But somebody you love tells you that?
Oof, man.
It's different.
Trust me. Yeah, yeah.
Worst moment in your life?
Worst moment. I think losing my grandparents. I think definitely both my grandfathers. They passed away before I was even born, but we grew up and were raised pretty much by our grandmothers. My mom used to go to work and stuff like that. So losing them when I was maybe in my teens, that was tough, man. That was, to this day, I mean, they were amazing, both of them.
Nice.
So losing them, they were the first. I mean, apart from two of my friends in high school that their lives were unfortunately cut short, but my grandparents were the first people like in family that I lost. I mean, it was a very huge moment for me, where you know, losing people that you have in your family, like that was that was super hard. Yeah,
I can tell.
Yeah, definitely.
How did you react to that?
It's all a bit of a blur. I mean, when my mom's mom passed away, I was in England at that time. I was trying to make it again in England, and she passed away in her sleep. So being there and her, you know, everybody else here going, you know, my family going through it here was super tough because I couldn't be with them, you know what I mean? And I told my mom, should I come back? And she was like, don't. It was hard. But they're both like pretty, when it happened, they're all pretty blurry. But in the context of it, when you go back, you know, and see how much they affected my life in a positive manner, it's hard, man. It's hard, yeah.
How did they affect it positively?
I remember my dad's mom always used to sit us down and tell us the story of Isra and Miraj. Every before Ramadan, she would tell us the story, and she'd always want like back massages, so we always used to walk on her back. And they were especially my dad's mom, and she was super tough. Like if you did something wrong in the house, like she'd make sure you know it. Like try to whip you with it. But you knew they loved you. You know what I mean? Like there was love there. Like definitely. And the fact that they had I didn't get to know my grandfathers, and when they were in my life and stuff was. Was a very important man. Yeah. They're a huge part of my life for sure.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Any regrets?
Nah, man. If I have regrets, then I'd have to change something that happened. You know what I mean? And that means I wouldn't be where I am today. Plus those things that were good in my life. You know what I mean? So if I wouldn't want to change anything, because everything that has brought me to this point, the good and bad, has you know, is what's defined me, you know, what I am now. if I go back and change all the regrets and you know, and lament about the things I could change and stuff like that, I wouldn't be where I am now, including the good things.
So where you are now, you're happy with, or you're like, if I can go back in time, I would tell Hamdan to stay in Miami or to stay in the UK?
Oh, man.
I don't like what ifs, but if you could, hypothetically, would you go back and say, no, Hamdan, stay here? Don't come back to the UAE.
I would think I'd watch from afar. I'd watch from afar and try to like silently scream to him not to do indirectly tell him, as opposed to like screaming and say, don't do it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know if you've heard about the butterfly effect. I mean, one little change.
Yes.
The fluttering of a butterfly's wings can change so many things in the world, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't want to change anything, because then I want to meet you. I want to meet the other people in my life, you know what I mean?
So
I wouldn't want to change anything, no. I would let him be as just watch from afar and go, damn, this guy is so stupid.
With popcorn.
With popcorn, exactly.
No, no. another hypothetical one. Another hypothetical question is, if we can take Hamdan's heart with all that it went through, the love, the music, the depression, the sadness, the loss, and after all this journey of, mashallah, Allah yahfazk, 39 years, and you can put it in front of you, what would it tell you?
What would my heart tell me?
What would your heart hypothetically tell you now after this journey so far?
Oh, man. I would like to think it would tell me to keep going. I'd like to think it would tell me there's so much more that you haven't done yet. I think it would tell me to maybe lay off the peanut butter. I would think it would tell me to fill it more with love than anything else. I think it would tell me to let go of, you know, of negative energies, of situations and people as well. And that's what I think I would like it to tell me. I think maybe as well continue to be true to myself regardless of what I might think sometimes. I think those things, yeah.
Music in one word.
Music in one, freedom.
Hamdan in one word.
Complicated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It was nice.
Yeah. All right. This song is called Nature. It's basically talking about the fact that everybody is an inspiration. Everybody is a star. They should never feel anything less than amazing. So this one's called Nature. Hey.
When you're in so deep that you don't even hear a sound, close introspective, like the sunshine in the clouds, don't exist at all, just a parallel universe, yes, you rule it, a solitary confinement of our design, yes, you do this, yes, you do this, you are all the elements, the triangle and the circle. Hey. I say life, love and death, you are ever knowing, everlasting, ever true. Yes. Whoa. You are ever knowing, everlasting, ever true. Listen, y'all. Hey. I'm two spaces colliding, every grain of sand, every single raindrop. I am one and I am everyone, I am everything. I am one and the same, I am her and him. I'm Mother Nature and destruction. Hey. I am ever knowing, everlasting, ever true. Said I am ever knowing, everlasting, ever true. Yeah. Oh, I am ever knowing, everlasting, ever true. Oh, yeah. I am ever knowing, everlasting, ever true. You are, say, everlasting, up together, everlasting, you are, hey, I say, everlasting, everlasting, you are, oh, yeah, everlasting, everlasting, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, man.